What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 372, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me, of course, is my co-host, who looks a little tan. Ryan looks a little tan over there.
I spent Friday and Saturday quite a bit of time outside in the sun.
Yeah, I
like doing outdoors work. I didn't actually swim at all this last weekend, and I should have. And now it's like this week been too hot to even swim. It's currently 104 outside at 7:30 p.m.
Oh, man. Yeah. You must have that AC, AC cranking.
Dude, this AC's cranking all day.
I have the worst farmer's tan. Like, it's kind of hard to see, but like, it is kind of hard to see, but it's really bad. But we're back after a week off. It was kind of nice taking a week off from almost everything. I had my sister in town and just showed her around San Diego and stuff. So it was good. And I got a tan. I'm peeling already because I just burnt myself.
Oh, man.
Sitting at the beach and everything. But it was a good time. How was your week off?
It was good. Did I stream? Oh, yeah.
You did stream.
Apex with Taltos and Shinny. It was good. I don't remember what I did otherwise. It was just like an extra hour I had in my Wednesday evening. But
Nice.
It's good to be back. Good to be back.
Yeah, it feels weird to be back. Like, I feel like it was just so weird, like setting up the lights and doing everything. I was like, wow, I haven't done this in a while. Every time we skip a week, it just feels like so long since like the next podcast. And again, last week, the week before that, we skipped as well.
Right.
So Talto said he's fallen in love with the charge rifle. You got him on the charge rifle. Ryan loves the charge rifle. He'll like be. We'll be. So
I loved
far away.
It much more when it came out, but it's. I still love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we'll get. Well, like I said, we'll be playing Apex later tonight. But yeah, let's just. I guess we'll just jump right in. Like I said, it just feels so weird podcasting. I'd say. But we'll jump into reviews, and I took a look at a really cool product. I was actually really surprised at the price of this product. And I feel like both Ryan and I are very all about finding products that are good, that are low price. Because I feel like over the past couple of years, and again, we were just talking about this with other stuff, prices of things have gotten kind of out of control sometimes. We talk about with graphics cards, but even, you know, keyboards, mice, things are just a little bit more expensive these days. And this product is a keyboard, and it's actually not all that expensive, and it has all these features that you see on all these other super high-end keyboards. And it's, again, it's not all that expensive. So this is the G-Skill KM250 RGB. It's a 65% keyboard, and actually it might be the first 65% keyboard that I reviewed. I know I reviewed I've reviewed 60%, but 65 gives you a couple keys on the end. And it gives you the volume knob, which is definitely cool as well. So it gives you your arrow keys. So you on a 60% keyboard, you don't get your arrow keys, and it gives you your delete, page up and page down over here as well. And we'll talk about it, but you also did a video on a 65. Do you like the 65% form factor when it comes to a keyboard, or are you still on?
I kind of mentioned this in my video, but I like the form factor when I'm just gaming, but when I'm doing productivity work, like at my desk at work, I have a full size keyboard because I use the numpad so often.
Okay.
But I do enjoy the 65%, just size wise and angling it a little bit, because I angle my keyboard just a slight bit when I'm gaming as well.
Yeah.
And it just it makes that angling not like stick out towards you or over your desk. And also, yeah, I like this size.
Would you ever go to like a 60 or 65 and then have a separate number pad?
Maybe, it depends. And then like if I'm playing WoW, like if I'm back on my WoW kick, the F row is important for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So you lose that with the 65, and I'm not going to be hitting, you know, modifier keys to do things. So
yeah, so you don't get your function row. Of course, you have alternate functions, so you can see F1 through F12 here, but you have to hit the function key down here. Yep. But yeah, this is, like I said, this is a, was it $49.99 or 30? It might even be $39.99. Okay, it's $39.99.
It's very affordable.
65% mechanical key switches. So you're going to get Kale Reds on this.
Okay.
PBT pudding style keycaps. So these are, as you can see, they're like, they look rougher because they are true PBT. If you're not familiar with PBT, it's just a different type of plastic that's harder. It's rougher. It doesn't show shine or wear. So, right. You know, if you're using like an ABS keycap, if your hands are at all, you know, greasy or like they're, you'll see the shine on the keyboard. It's so hard to keep an ABS keycap keyboard clean because it just over time, it just, yeah. You know, it they don't wear as much either, which is really good over time too. So I always, and they're so much more comfortable. I think that's the biggest thing is PBT keycaps are extremely comfortable. But the cool thing about these is these are the pudding style where you have the sort of diffuser at the bottom. So it's going to show more lighting, which I'll get into. So you have all that, and then you do have that volume wheel, and it's one of the ones that you can press as well. So you can press it, it's going to mute, and then you slide it, obviously, for volume up and volume down here. You can look at the switches. Again, they're Kale Reds, and they are hot swappable. So this is hot swappable nice. As well, so you can swap out. Again, these are all high-end features that you would find on keyboards that are well over $100. Any one of these features are kind of swapped in and out of high-end keyboards. Sometimes you don't see a hot swap design. Sometimes you don't see PBT keycaps, but you're getting all of that in a keyboard that's $40. Not much else. The casing is plastic. There's no sound dampening material. It is kind of like your basic casing. There's, again, not much to it. There are three levels of height adjustment. So this is the base level. Go up one. And go up two. So those are the three different levels of adjustment. Not much going on in the back. It is kind of like your pretty basic keyboard. But I think when you turn it on, that's the cool part. The lighting with the pudding style keycaps, just it looks awesome. It is, yeah, I'm a big fan. And pudding style PBT keycaps by themselves, I think the lowest price ones I saw were like $18.99 just for the keycaps. And then there's ones that are like, you know, $30-$40 as well. We actually reviewed some from HyperX a couple years ago. But I think that the lighting on this just looks amazing. So I think the question a lot of people are asking is, what's the catch? Why is this $40?
Yeah.
I think one of the main detractors of this keyboard, and I think it's more than the second one, is that there's no software. This being marketed as a gaming keyboard, that leaves kind of gamers out of luck. No macros, you know, especially for a 65% keyboard, you want some remapping capabilities, you want some macros. You have to kind of rely on third-party software, which may or may not work with this keyboard. You know what I mean? That also means your lighting. There's no software lighting. There's no per key adjustments that you can go through different effects in different colors. You have that like 7-color choice, and then you have the rainbow wave, and then you can go through the effects. It's more than enough. I'm not that big of a stickler on RGB, but I think not having remapping and not having macros is a big deal for me, being that this is marketed as a gaming keyboard. I think that's
right. Yeah, those are pretty popular features for gaming keyboards.
The second big detractor is that the casing is plastic, and we have an audio sample. You can listen to it. It just does not sound great to type on. It feels fine. It doesn't feel amazing.
No flex or anything?
Yeah, it feels fine, but it sounds cheap. And I don't know. It just, again, those are the two downsides, I would say, of this keyboard. Doesn't sound great, especially compared to some of the keyboards that we reviewed lately. It doesn't sound great. And again, no software. So those are the kind of two things that I would say are bad. But the saving grace of it, if this was a $100 keyboard, I would have been a lot harder on it. But it's $40. And for $40, and it's not even like you're getting switches you've never heard of. I mean, these are Kales. They're obviously not as good as Cherry switches or anything like that. But they're still mechanical key switches. You're still getting PBT keycaps, pudding style at that, which is going to make the lighting look really good. You do have a hot swappable design. So if you, down the line, if you did want to pick up some different switches, you can go ahead and do that. You have the volume wheel. detachable USB-C connection too. I didn't mention that. So if you did also want to get a coiled cable, this will support that because it is detachable cable. So it just feels kind of cheap. But beyond that, you can't argue with the price. I think at the end of the day, you really cannot argue with the price of this at $40. Go ahead and check out the audio sample, which we do have here in the review, so you can hear what it sounds like. But I think for $40, if you're building a PC or even like buying, you know, somebody in your family wants a gaming keyboard, this is really going to give them everything that they want. RGB lighting, you know, mechanical key switches, great durability too. So this is going to last, like the PBT keycaps are going to last a very long time. You know, it's a good keyboard. I gave it a 9 out of 10 just because of the price. If it was a $100 keyboard, it probably would have been a 7 out of 10. So,
yeah. Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, exactly. You really can't go wrong with the price. That's just kind of it. So go ahead and check that review out. Taltosh in the chat says 65% is doo-doo. I like 65%. I do prefer 60. I don't necessarily use my arrow keys. The volume knob is a nice add-on. I don't like my volume's right here on my headset. Yep. So like when it really matters, I just use this. I would say that. I used to be a big, like when TKL was like the big thing, I was like a TKL, but I was like, wait, that's way too big now. That's huge.
I mean, that's my go-to is a TKL.
Yeah. I just think like it's too much, too spaced out, but I still use this. I mean, this is like still my daily driver. This one. This is this.
That's the IQNX, right?
Yeah, it's the IQNX. Yeah. So, but, you know. But we'll move on. Ryan, also, we were talking about it. He did a video on the... he already did the review. Was that like a month, 2 months ago?
Maybe a month ago.
On the Cooler Master CK720, which is a 65% gaming keyboard. He did a great video, really long video too, going over all the features, and he used a new set here. I feel like he looks a little bit better on this set than his other set that he was using for videos, but he goes into detail on everything. I don't know if there's any like main things you want to talk about. We already had talked about this keyboard, but sure. If there was anything else you wanted to,
I mean, nothing new, but just the main features that really set this apart for me from Cooler Master's perspective, because this is kind of their first foray into like enthusiast type mechanical keyboard, right? As opposed to just like a gaming keyboard. They've got two silicone damper pads in the body of the keyboard, which really like solidify the sound and the feel. It helps to remove any vibration sounds, right? You don't get any of that like clanging or springy sound with this, which is nice, thanks to those silicone pads. You have the hot swappable switches on there, and you know, the PBT double shot PBT keycaps really are kind of the features that I think really add a lot to this keyboard, especially at the price point. I think the MSRP is like $100, and it was actually on sale for like 80 just recently. It's a really nice keyboard. If you're wanting to get into that smaller form factor without going with the more expensive brand, or you know, you like Cooler Master for whatever reason, and want to stick loyal to them, it's a good option, I think, to at least check out.
One thing I really, and not just Cooler Master but a bunch of companies, is that, you know, we had gaming keyboards and they got really popular probably for the lighting more than anything, when we first started doing that, and then we had the custom mechanical keyboard scene come on, and it was all about the hardware and the silicone dampening and the PBT keycaps and the hot swap. And now we're seeing, because that got so popular, now we're seeing that in our gaming keyboards, which is awesome, because you use a normal gaming keyboard, just, you know, normal cherry switches, nothing special about it, no sound dampening, ABS keycaps, and then you take a look at your first keyboard that maybe has a different type of switch, PBT keycaps, especially sound dampening with the sound, and you're like, I don't want to use anything else. The experience is so good. And if we were just talking about the sound on the keyboard that I reviewed, the sound on that keyboard compared to Ryan's, the keyboard from Cooler Master is night and day, because that one does have the sound dampening pads, and Ryan does have an audio sample, not only in the review, but in the video as well, that you guys can check out and just see.
And those switches are lubricated too from the factory. Like they're pre-lubed. So they're, you know, adds again to that sound and feel.
Yeah, it's really nice to see that we're not just getting like the same old cookie cutter type of gaming keyboards anymore. And it's really good, like especially the dampening pad thing. You didn't see that as much, but now we're really starting to see that. Pre-loop switches, like you said. A lot of cool stuff. So check out Ryan's video. It goes over the entire keyboard. If you are looking for a 65%, that's one that I would definitely, I think, you should check out there for sure. So yeah, really cool stuff. Two 65% keyboards. One lower end, one I would say that's kind of mid-range for the CK720 in there. Taltosh says in the chat, he said he foam mod and reloop my switches and stabilizers on any keyboard I can anymore. Yeah, it's like the thing is, I didn't even know that much about that stuff until I started reviewing the more custom style keyboards and just the different experience and feel you'll get from like a pre-loop switch compared to a non is just, yeah, it's kind of crazy. So
like all those O-ring mods that some people do, and just like you can just keep going and going with,
yeah,
like,
there's customization, there's so much on these, yeah, things. So much stuff you can do. So definitely, like I said, check out Ryan's video on that. We went from that to Case Mod Friday, of course, is where we feature a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have the Rockman PC from I always try to say his name, Jugapat Modifier. This is really cool. This was done for Computex. It's sort of like this guy, robot guy, half
Rockman. This looks a lot like Mega Man.
It does. Maybe he didn't
get the licensing for that.
Yeah, or like he was worried about that being a thing. Yeah. But yeah, kind of like Mega Man, all kind of deconstructed and cool. The PC is in the center. It's kind of hard to see. Let's see if we can get to one of the close-up shots. You can kind of see it in there with the water cooling and stuff. But he had a couple of these at Computex. We might feature the other one as well, where there were like these figures that look really, really cool. And there's like the graphics cards on the back as well as the radiator and the fans, and you can see the coolant going through there. Really cool stuff. It is interesting to see how like with these type of builds that are very much, there's the whole back, it's pretty cool to see, and you can see the power supply at the bottom, how these really look like, again, they're like something from a movie, you know what I mean, something that,
yeah, the like a prop. Attention to detail on all those parts, like it looks like functional arms and parts, and
yeah, you know, you
like these joints would actually move and everything. Yeah, oh hey, fair. Rockman is the Japanese name for Mega Man. There we go.
That's makes a lot more sense. I should have known that, because I think I remember seeing that somewhere back way back in the day. You could see the graphics card in there, but yeah, great attention to detail on this. Just looks super, super cool. So go ahead and check this one out. We have his Facebook linked, and he has the other one on his Facebook as well. So if you want to check out the other one, it's a little bit different, but yeah, really cool stuff to see there. Would you want something like this sitting on your desk per se? Say like you are a big Mega Man fan.
Sure. Yeah. I wouldn't mind that. I guess scale wise, I can't really tell. I mean, it's gotta be pretty big.
Yeah. Well, if you
like, just knowing the size of that CPU cooler, like the water block that he's using, and the size of the like the radiator.
Yeah, the radiator.
I mean, it's got to be like, because that's a 360.
Yeah, and then the graphics card. So
that thing's like 4 feet tall almost.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's got to be huge.
It would be kind of cool to say like, oh yeah, maybe not 4 feet tall, but this is my PC. It's like a big thing. That's pretty cool.
I mean, I love the 925, the Inwin 925 that I've got sitting here, but I'm kind of ready for something a little smaller, a little less.
Yeah.
Overbearing, right?
Yeah,
it might be life size. Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, in any case, like I said, check this one out. Very cool. Like I said, it was at Computex, but yeah, you can see. Yeah, it would be cool. It would be cool to have. I think if I was going to do something really, really big and like, I think I would do like a wall PC. I think like if I had this whole wall, it's like a big PC.
Or maybe a desk.
Desk would be really cool too.
I've always found the desk out of those two, I prefer the desk look. I think wall PCs and I don't know, they just, everything looks so spread out, like for no reason.
I would just be so afraid of it falling off the wall.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be the big thing with a wall PC. But yeah, no, the desk PC is something that I was considering for a while. It was just like all the pre-made desk, like the Li and Li desk was like so expensive.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I was going to like put an AIO in it. Like it wasn't like it was going to, you know,
some crazy custom build. Yeah. No.
Yeah. So yeah. But yeah, maybe you should do a desk PC.
No.
No. And if you are taking your PC somewhere, it's not like you're taking your desk. That's like
Yeah,
if you're doing like LAN parties or stuff like that, yeah.
Not an option, really.
Yeah, but we'll move on to news. Not a whole lot going on, especially considering we did kind of like the bare minimum of news last week because I was technically on a vacation. But some big news and some interesting stories. First, we'll start with AMD. They have confirmed new enthusiast class, RDNA 3 GPUs are coming. So that makes you think like super high end. You hear an enthusiast class, you're like, it's sure. The highest. It's, you know, but so their 7900 XT and XTX, those are considered by AMD like they're super enthusiasts. So this will be below that,
darn.
Which makes sense because in this 7000 series, we have the super high end and then we have the 7600, you know what I mean? So in the middle, we do have room for like a 77 and a 7800. So again, in that sort of, I guess you would call it enthusiast, but in the middle of those where, you know, we would see that. This makes sense. AMD doesn't really, besides their older GPUs, they don't have anything new that kind of fits in that space. So the rumors are that it's going to be a 7800 XT and a 7700 XT, which I think would be good for them, especially with all the woes of NVIDIA as of late. You know, between $500 and $700.
Okay.
You know, on the low end, if you had a 7700 XT at 500, which would compete with NVIDIA on their 4060 Ti 16 gig that again nobody cares about that's the 500 price point, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, and again you would also compete against the 4070 and 4070 Ti in that sort of price point. So yeah,
that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. It seems like AMD takes them a while to like release their entire segment, you know what I mean?
Right. It's almost the opposite of NVIDIA, where NVIDIA is just like chucking stuff out pretty regularly. Yeah, I wish AMD had a little more, what am I trying to say? More options available from one end to the other. Sooner, you know, closer to each other with release cadence.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, because it seems like the 7900 and 7900 XT have just Yeah, it's been on for like a long time. So yeah, that's definitely exciting on the AMD side. On the NVIDIA side, people are upset, which seems to be a thing.
Par for the course this year.
Yeah. It appears, and this is like a well-known leaker, well-known for being correct on NVIDIA stuff, is that NVIDIA is canceling a 4090 Ti. I think everybody... If you're a high-end enthusiast guy, maybe you didn't get the 4090 and you're just waiting for the Ti to say you had the Ti. And we talked about this with the Titan too, but there are just people that want the Ti card. That's the kind of the upgrade cadence that they're in. And, you know, it is weird considering that we do have a 4070 Ti and we have a 4060 Ti. But we don't have a 4080 Ti or 4090 Ti. Right. And the main reason is because the 4090 is still the most powerful in consumer graphics card out there. So we're just not going to get a 4090 Ti because it's not needed. I don't know how much of a performance boost you'd get, but again, the current 4090 isn't using the full GPU that's on it. It's not completely maxed out. So
yeah, there's room to grow.
There's room.
Sounds like they're just not going to do it.
And we talked about a possible Titan, like where these would fit in. I mean, I think we talked about it even at the actual launch. Like there's still room for other cards. So it is kind of weird. And in this, they were saying that the next gen, so a 50 series, would feature a 512-bit memory interface. That was the last bit of news, which is a good thing. But yeah, I mean, when we talk about this every week, but like, what is NVIDIA doing? You know what I mean? Because I think even if it's not a high volume card, I think
there's still a market for it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're going to sell them because, again, there's people that just want to say they have the best card. And
well, I mean, there's nothing keeping people from having a 4090 and saying they've got the best card, right? If the 4090 Ti doesn't exist, then with the 4090, they still have the best card. It's not the best potential card, but it's the best card.
We are coming up on a year, I guess, since the 4090 launch. So it's refresh time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that
they said the Ti is canceled. Didn't say anything about a super.
That's what they're going to change it. They're going to change it. They're not going to call it. Well, talking about that, we have seen this picture right here of this four slot big old card. And we thought it was a Titan. We're not sure. There's also pictures of this massive quad slot cooler. This is a more broken down version that we've seen, and it has a fan in the center as well, which we didn't really get to see before. This thing is just huge cooler. All these, the heat sink and all the, it's kind of hard to see
in there.
But yeah, but if you look at all the heat pipes, I mean, there's just all through here, all through the heat pipes. And again, this just makes you wonder, what is this made for? Again, was like the Ti supposed to be coming and they just canceled it at the last minute? So, you know, again, companies were making these coolers for it. You know what I mean? It's just definitely, and again, you can see that back here, you can see those vertical connections. I guess I call them vertical, but you know what I mean? They're going down the card. They're not going across the card. And again, it's just this big, you know, big old thing, but having that center fan too, which is a little weird to have the center fan, cause that's not on the normal cards. You know what I mean?
Right. But this was going to have a different layout anyways, where the PCB was oriented different, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you're right. So. But yeah, pretty, I don't know, it just makes you wonder what NVIDIA is doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I guess you could say there could still be a Titan. You could say that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, we're coming up on refresh time for the first bit of 40 series cards, the 4080 and the 4090. So what does that look like? Is there a need? That's the thing too, because on the AMD side, you're not you're not really competing against anything, which makes sense, but we've come to this sort of yearly, you know, 16 months, 12, you know, whatever cadence of upgrades and getting new cards. So I guess we'll see. I don't know. What would you think if they did release a Titan? Would you?
I mean, they've always been out of my price range or what I'm wanting to pay for a card. I mean, I'd be fine with if they
went back to
the Titan series.
Well, that's the thing is that we didn't get it.
Because, we haven't had Titan in a while. But if you have a Titan Series card, then you've got like in between the regular 4090 and the Titan, you'd have just such a probably a pretty small area to work with to even fit a TI in there. So maybe that's what they're going with, is just they're gonna go all out with a Titan and just, I don't know, bring that name back. And
yeah, I guess we'll see. Be interesting to see what they do, but a lot of people are very upset at NVIDIA at that. Moving on to CPU stuff. It looks like we're going to get 14th gen Raptor Lake refresh is coming in October, which is coming because we're already in August, which is crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. There was a big Chinese hardware exhibition, and in that was this PC, which was apparently, this is from Intel, this was apparently running the new Raptor Lake refresh already.
Okay.
One of those things is at the show, they don't really say much,
it's just like, hey, it's over there. And
yeah, so this was running the new Raptor Lake refresh, which again, makes, it shows you that it's, well, it should be available in October, which is coming up.
If there's, yeah, if it's at this stage, should be available by then for sure.
Yeah, so that'll be kind of interesting to see what Intel does on that. It is a refresh, so you're just expecting boost clock bumps for the most part, and that's kind of what you're going to get on that, and price bumps. And where the next story is talking about the price bumps, but it's supposed to be. Intel is going to be increasing prices across all of their core CPUs. And this is current stuff as well. It looks like they put out a memo that they will be increasing pricing across all core CPUs from, 1 to 20% depending on the SKU. Which again, Intel's like going through this weird time, I feel, where they're trying to make money for their shareholders. They're selling off different parts of their business. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to make their CPUs the most, which it should have been anyways, but they're really focusing just on the CPUs. So, and AMD keeps on getting market share, it seems, as well. So how do you feel about Intel right now, like in the enthusiast space?
I still feel like they have more of a foothold than a lot of people think. You know, I mean, AMD's made a lot of headway in the last, 5 years or so to take back some of that market share. But Intel has had such a large volume of that share, mm-hmm. that I think they're Intel's in a perfectly fine spot, in my opinion. Like, they're not necessarily worried about losing that market share to AMD by any means. But I think, the gains that AMD has made against them are like noted, and they're going to keep an eye on that. But I think they're doing fine. They continue to release new products. You know, a couple of years ago, we kept joking about, about their stuck on the same size die, right? We were like, oh, they can't get off of this thing. And what was it? They're like 10 nanometer plus or whatever. We kept joking about it. They've made it past that. So they've had
it
some.
It seems like, I remember that. That was like the funniest thing.
Right. We were just like, oh, another revision. Yeah. They're doing this. They haven't made it to a smaller size yet. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think they're fine. There's plenty of Intel fans out there still. So I'm not concerned about them at all.
Yeah, I think that they have lost some notoriety to AMD. But at the same time, I still do think that their tech is really good. And they went through some major changes, too, like going to that hybrid design with efficiency cores and performance cores. That's like a big change, mm-hmm. And I still do think the support from the motherboard manufacturers is there. Like, typically, you still see the Intel boards just have a little bit more features. They look a little bit better still. So it'll be interesting to see how these next few years kind of roll off for Intel, especially in the enthusiast space. But yeah, really cool to see, see where they kind of go from there. But I'm not excited about price increases. You never want to see a price increase at all. And then Laura Taltosh says, Intel is still like 79% of the Steam user survey. Yeah. I think a lot of people still do go to Intel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and then Old Man, you were talking to Old Man, that he was talking about the 65% keyboard, and that he's looking for, he's looking at the SK653, which I can bring up. SK653.
So it's a full-size keyboard.
It's a full-size keyboard.
But for $50, that seems like a pretty good deal.
Hybrid wireless. Oh, this is their SK series. I'm a big fan of their SK series. They look pretty sweet. They have a... It's a little bit older. I'll bring it up here. It is a little bit older. And it has the low-profile switches.
Yeah.
Definitely have a different feel than a full-size switch. But I'm definitely, we reviewed, at least three of the SK series, like 3 years ago or something. This one that has the, wireless, you can use it wired or wirelessly, I believe as well. So,
I don't mind blues when they're low profile. They're not quite as loud as full size blues, so I can stand them, but he was asking, yeah. He couldn't decide what color switches. I mean, I think you'd be happy with any of them. Depending on what your use case is. Like, I don't like blues necessarily for gaming. I don't mind browns as much, even though they have very similar tactile feel to them.
Yeah.
It just kind of depends what use case is, I guess.
Yeah. I wish you could just be like, yeah, go in the store and try this one out. Like, see how it feels.
And and then like try it. And do you have a version with red and blue and brown?
Yeah. Yeah. So. But yeah, I mean, the low profile keycaps as well as the lower profile switch is going to feel a lot different than a full size. Also, I'm pretty sure that the keycaps here are just ABS. So the keyboard that Ryan reviewed has PBT, correct?
On the 720, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're full size as well.
Yeah, full size. So it's worth checking out. I do feel that low profile switches and keycaps are really great for specifically typing. Yep. Typing feels great on those. So it's worth, like I said, if you want to check it out, it's only $50. And if you are buying it on, I don't know if he did say Amazon, but if you are buying it on Amazon and you do have Prime, you have 30-day return window on that too. So. Or wherever you're buying it, if they have like a return window, you can try it out, which I think is the best thing when it comes to a keyboard. It would, you know, like buying a keyboard and then you don't like how it feels, it just wouldn't be great. So yeah, we'll move on from there to a really interesting laptop that was posted on a German e-tailer. It is this Asus ROG Strix Scar 17, which has been out. The Strix Scar 17 has been out for a while, but this version has a really interesting CPU. It has the Ryzen 9 7945H X3D. So apparently, AMD made an X3D version of a mobile processor, which honestly makes sense, especially in a gaming laptop where that's why the person's buying it is to game. You're going to get that little bit better performance thanks to that 3D cache, right? Why am I thinking 3D VNAND for some reason? I don't know why that's also in my head.
I think it makes sense quite a bit because a lot of times you almost feel like you're stepping back or stepping down in performance when you go to that mobile part, right? Or a mobile gaming laptop. Having that X3D part in there might alleviate some of that worry or performance drop that you might see with a traditional gaming laptop.
Yeah, so pretty interesting.
Not that like all the other components are anything to slouch about as well, right? They're 32 gigs of RAM. 2 terabyte SSD, a 4090.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I would like one of these. It would be nice.
Yeah.
Although, again, for me, for
it's
like
probably too big and heavy for you.
Yeah. I was like, oh, man, like every time we see these at CES or wherever, just like, man, this is so nice. And the screen probably looks amazing.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know what I mean? But I'm just like, No,
we got in some really nice 14-inch Dell laptops today at work, and they're pretty sweet looking.
Yeah, so pretty cool that they made an X3D part for mobile. That's pretty awesome. So, and again, that's another thing. It's like AMD is doing is like, okay, you know, we have this tech, it works great on desktop. Let's bring it to the laptop. Maybe mm-hmm. only specific models, the highest end models, but
have the cooling to support it. Yeah.
Yeah, we have this part. It's gonna greatly increase gaming performance on these laptops. So I'm a big fan of it. I think it's super cool. So really, really cool to see that. Moving on to the mobile side of things. Of course, we had Steam Deck, right?
Yep.
We had Steam Deck. And then we have the ROG Ally was like the next big one, right? Well, it looks like Lenovo is working on their own called the Legion Go. And I like Lenovo, and I do think their Legion products are good. But it's so interesting to see Lenovo push this Legion brand, and we've seen it. You know, I've seen Legion laptops, and they have Legion desktop PCs. But it's like, is this gaming brand going? You know what I mean?
It seems like they've been launching forever or trying to get out there. I don't know.
And I just feel like they should just call it. They should just take Lenovo off of it completely and just
make it Legion.
Make it its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Kind of like a HyperX used to be.
Yeah, like completely its own thing. That's just my opinion. But anyways, they're making this. We have a really low res picture, but this is like their thing, and it's built on the Ryzen 7040 Phoenix APU. So it is going to be powerful enough. It's not like a cloud player. It will be powerful enough to play games on its own. So yeah, I mean, it's a another mobile device. And again, we're kind of like, I guess we're old now, and we don't see like this mobile gaming thing as like, I guess as big as it is, but I guess it's decently big.
It must be, yeah.
You know?
I'd be interested to like step back. You know, I used to work at a university for quite a while, and it'd be curious to see like if these were starting to take over from consoles or gaining market share, because mm-hmm. I would help, you know, students in their residence halls get connected to the internet and, you know, get their gaming consoles. And it was like, once Xbox Live was a thing and PlayStation's, you know, like PS3 and Xbox One had, you know, connectivity and things like that, they were always, you know, connecting these. So I wonder if these are taking any of that market share in that sort of environment. Cause I'm just trying to figure out who buys these, what's the
I think
consumer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's people who are away from their home PC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Work, school, like you said, who are true gamers and really enjoy gaming, where they can, you know, take it out of their pocket. I wouldn't say pocket because they're a little bit bigger, but you know, take it out of your bag and just play on your commute, in between classes, you know, lunch break type of thing. I think that's who's buying these. Yeah, I think that's the thing. But it's cool. It's cool to see more of them. You know what I mean? I think the more of these you have, the better components you're going to get as well. So this is going to almost all of these are based on the new Ryzen Phoenix APUs. So you're going to see, because all that money is going into AMD, they're going to produce better ones for the next gen and the next gen. You know what I mean? And maybe Intel will produce one, you know, and NVIDIA we'll get back into that mobile market as well, because they were doing that for, you know, so it will it'll be interesting to see. But it's cool to see you know, another option out there. But talking about another option, you know, you have one of these laying around. I know your kid, I know your at least your, I think your son has one of these, Nintendo Switch.
Yep.
And somebody was able to get PC games running on it.
Okay.
Grand Theft Auto 5, God of War, GeekerWon, he's a YouTuber, made a video on how he was able to get Android running on it, get Linux running on it, and get, you know, Steam installed and run things on it, you know, playing That's games cool. that aren't really made for Switch, running on the Switch, because the Switch is powered by NVIDIA Tegra X1, which when that came out, I mean, that was the SoC for sort of like the mobile gaming crowd. That's what What was the NVIDIA's little thing called?
Oh, you had to ask. I was just thinking of it when you said NVIDIA's thing just a minute ago on the last story.
Yeah, what was that? It was, I forget. Oh, I really wanted one at the time because you could cloud play, or like you could play from your using your desktop. It was really cool.
What was that called?
I forget what
the Shield.
Was called.
Yeah,
Toughest, the Shield. Yep, the Shield. Yeah, NVIDIA Shield. NVIDIA they Shield had, like, was
the based Shield on, TV thing. Yeah, NVIDIA Shield. Yeah,
based on the Tegra X1. So it is. I mean, it's not as powerful as the newer stuff, but yeah, here's the whole video going through. Here's Grand Theft Auto, you know, running on it. And things like that. So we have the video linked in the article if you want to check it out. But super cool. I love little mods like this, especially the more of these like mobile things we get out there. I think we'll see a lot more modding and different things being done to them. Yeah. But if you are like on the fence, like, oh, should I get a Steam Deck? Should I get ROG Ally? Another YouTuber made a great video comparing the ROG Ally versus the Steam Deck, and this is like everything you want to know. Boot times, you know, different FPS, different games, different modes, like battery life, everything. They ran on the Steam Deck and then ran it on the ROG Ally and did a side-by-side comparison, so you know if something's like, if some certain thing is super important to you, you'll know. Yep. So this is a great video. This one's done by I'm not going to try to say their YouTube name.
did they say which one they thought was the best?
I didn't watch the entire video. But it's like I said, it's worth checking out. And you can see the whole breakdown and everything like that. So you can see which one would be the one that you would want, depending on your, you know, your use case, which is really cool. I love videos like this. So definitely check that out. And again, we have the video linked in the article for you to go ahead and check out. So it'll be very cool. But that is news for the week. Not a whole lot going on. We're right before, we're getting, you know, end, I wouldn't say end of summer, but we're getting, you know, towards the midsummer, I guess. And that's when we kind of have that lull of PC hardware news. And then we get into September, October, big launch season time for products for holiday.
We came off of Computex, and a lot of those products that were announced are going to start being available now.
Yeah.
You know, ahead of holiday. I know there's a case that I'm like waiting on and refreshing pages every day. Like, is it available? Is it available? So, I'm excited.
Yeah. So kind of, like I said, not a ton going on this week, but we'll talk about what we have coming up next week. I have another case, an affordable case at that. So if you are looking for that $100 case, this is definitely it. The Cooler Master TD500 Mesh V2 comes with three ARGB fans and the controller. I have the white one that's right here. Tempered glass side panel, supports large hardware, everything like that. So I'll be taking a look at that and tell you guys if it's worth picking up. Like I said, it is really hard to get that $100 price point these days for cases. Yeah. Especially with the fans. Yeah. So
RGB fans anyways. Yeah.
RGB fans at that. And these are ARGB fans and a controller in case you don't have the connection on your motherboard either. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's yeah.
Yeah. So $100
and
on this tempered case.
Glass. Like some real toolless, value there.
Toolless design on the side panel too, which I'll go into in the review. So I'll be taking a look at that, and I'll be taking a look at some earbuds from Monster, which is a company that's like not so much in the
they're like home audio,
yeah,
like, but Monster cables, right?
They sent over these DNA Fit True wireless earbuds that are like workout ones, which I have earbuds, but they like always sometimes just like fall out at the gym.
Yep. Sort of mine.
And it's like really, really annoying. So these ones have like the little loops that go around your ear. So I'm going to see if they're comfortable. These charge in the case, which is nice. And the case can be charged wirelessly. They don't include a wireless charger, but if you put this on any wireless charger, it will charge them. So I'll be taking a look at those as well. And of course, if they sound good, you want good tunes while you're working out, I feel. So So I'll be taking a look at that there as well. And that is pretty much it. I did message you earlier today, and there's a new DJI, was it?
Osmo Action
4 was just announced. Everybody has their videos out. So the camera YouTubers, so not a ton of massive upgrades, but I think for me, the biggest thing on this is the low light.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah, they had really improved that, which was cool. Because I tried using mine. In fact, it's right here.
Yeah.
I used mine to like film some of my build in my video, and it just like the low light just isn't great. So,
well, the reason I was saying that too is because like with your comic book, Ryan has a comic book channel. If you guys haven't seen it, doing like kind of like vloggy sort of stuff that's not outside, the action cams just aren't good. Because even like I have the GoPro Hero 10, and it's just inside, it's just grainy. It just doesn't look great. But this new camera has that this low light mode that like just looks really good. It doesn't look grainy and crappy. I would like to see it in like real use. I'm sure somebody will actually like really, really test it in certain situations for specifically vlogging. But I was a fan. Like I have the same one that Ryan has. Which is the first Osmo Action, and then I went to GoPro. Maybe I'll go back. We'll see.
I mean, this one does just fine for me. Like, I don't really have any need to upgrade. If I was into buying one now, like if I needed one because I didn't have this, yeah, like this has a ton of awesome options. I just kind of like flipped through that page today, and it had like the 360 degree stabilization type stuff. It was just
the
like,
new stabilization is cool. Has been on it's on the previous one.
Okay,
it's on the three.
I hadn't even looked at the previous models, but you sent that over, so I kind of watched that.
Why is my
it's very impressive. Had like some native vertical video recording as well.
Yeah that was on the previous one too.
Pretty cool.
I'm trying to open YouTube and my browser just is freezing. Got
an old computer.
It seems like it, because I'm literally trying to open YouTube. Well, anyways, I was going to open YouTube and show you a video. So if talking about cameras, we're talking about camera stuff. Gerald Undone, who does really in-depth camera reviews, if you ever were probably shopping for a camera, you watch one of his videos. He's been doing these like studio tours of different really big YouTubers.
Oh, and yeah, I think I've
he recently did Hardware Canucks. And he just did Linus from, of course, Linus Tech Tips. So all of our, you know, CPU, like, you know, all of our computer tech fans, if you want to see what, if you're a camera person, if you want to see behind the scenes and like what type of gear they use and, you know, their studio setups, especially the Linus one goes more in, because Hardware Canucks is just like a room. Like it's not a big production, but if you go if you watch the Linus video, which I think just came out either
It just came out, but I did see it in my feed as well. I hadn't watched it yet.
Yeah, if you want to see this stuff, and even if you're not a camera nerd, it's just like all the different sets and different things and how they do the certain things is really cool. Again, I don't know. Chrome just is crap. I hate Chrome. That's what this is.
Yeah, I love old man says MTV cribs for tech tubers, which is exactly right. Like that, there's so many people that will watch this kind of stuff. To just see the behind the scenes of some of the biggest creators out there.
Yeah, let me bring this up. And he just did, so here's his, he just did Linus.
Oh, MKB.
He did MKB, which a couple of people have done MKB, and he's done his own as well. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of seen that one, but Hardware Canucks, he went on there and stuff too, and he's been doing these studio tours. So especially for like, I feel like a lot of people watching our podcast or listening to our podcast watch Linus and, you know, and watch Hardware Canucks. So it's cool to see the behind the scenes of other creators like in our space. So I think it's definitely worth checking out even if you're not into the camera stuff, just to see how they shoot their videos and things like that. It's really
cool. That's what we should go to. One of his thumbnails was the NAB show. We should go to NAB.
My friend went to that a couple times. That's in Vegas as well.
Yeah, it's in April. I've heard it's pretty good. I mean,
yeah,
especially for like, if you're like you're really into that, it's
if you're into camera stuff, it's really really good to go. So But that's pretty much it. I don't know if there's anything else that you did these past 2 weeks tech related.
I don't think so. I mean, I've just been using, like, you know, you reviewed the mics, right? So I've been really enjoying using those. Trying out my new set. I took over part of the family room in the basement. I prefer it as my background now, which stinks because in this room I can just have everything and turn different angles, but it makes me think about what I can do in this room to make it better, which I've been wanting to do for quite a while to improve my just setup in general. So that has me excited to take another look at this room to really come up with a cool design and layout.
I was telling you before we started the podcast that I'll be moving in October.
Yeah. So
breaking this whole set down. Yeah. So
you don't have any lights mounted to the ceiling?
No.
You had done that at one of your previous. Your big C station.
No, I do have lights mounted to the ceiling.
Oh, okay.
But they're just shop lights. It's like I'll Alexa, turn on office lights. So they're up there.
Okay.
Yeah. Alexa, turn off office lights. So they're there. You know what I mean? But they're not like a big light. Like the big light that I have
just off camera.
Yeah, it's on a C stand. Mm-hmm. But breaking it's like I've this desk is so set up perfectly. Everything's mounted to the bottom, and just the idea of breaking it all down and then trying. If you've ever dealt with like movers or just like even moving yourself, and like you scratch a desk, it's just, and then you're sitting here, and if like your mouse mat doesn't cover where you scratch,
as long as it's under the mouse mat, you might.
Yeah, be right. But typically it's on the corner or something, and you got to look at it's. Yeah, that's what I'm fearing when I move. But that won't happen till October, so we have a lot of stuff to get done, a lot of reviews, like I said, a lot of stuff going on. I am organizing some contests as well, so we will have some giveaway things coming up as well to do, and I think we're gonna do a lot of giveaways because I have a lot of stuff here. And that's another thing is like
I was wondering, if what are you gonna do with all the stuff you got here now, because this is your first spot in San Diego, and you purged a lot of stuff before you moved. You've obviously, I'm sure, acquired a lot in that time period. So I know you've got your storage area, you know, which I'm sure is filling up.
Well, that's the thing.
Knowing you, you don't want to move 80% of that stuff.
Yeah, well, I don't want to move it. And a lot of the stuff does need to be. So behind me right there is, right there in through that doorway is a walk-in closet that's full of PC hardware, and a lot of it needs to like be retired either. And again, it's like older stuff that I don't necessarily like, I don't think I can sell. Maybe we'll give some of it away, but I need to get rid of it because we're not using it anymore. It's like Z590 boards, you know what I mean? Things that are really not too old, but in our testing, the test systems, we're not using it, right? And we're not going to use it as a comparison for anything either. So definitely, you know, and I still have like some 20 series GPUs that I need to get rid of. And again, it's not like we're going to sell them or anything like that. So maybe we'll do like a cleaning house giveaway or something. Yeah. Or maybe it'll just put it in storage and it'll just sit there like my old storage unit back in Pittsburgh that was just full of old stuff. So we'll see. Tall Touch Test will take it off my hands.
You're paying to just have it stored somewhere.
I already have a storage unit here too that's filling up as well. Okay. But the thing is, the PC cases, that's what takes up the most space is PC cases. And those, it's just, even if we're giving them away, like just to ship them costs more than sometimes much. So that's a difficult thing. But yeah, the moving thing is going to be interesting, and I'm trying to decide what, you know, I'm looking at different places and prices are crazy, and yeah, just to try to get another good, because this setup in here is really ideal, but they've raised the rent way too much. So just, I can't justify that. So I've been looking, so I haven't found a place yet, but I'll be moving in October. So I have until October to figure that out. Maybe I'll come move in with you, Ryan. You know.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah, with all your comics, it'll be, you know. So, but yeah, that is it, guys. We're gonna jump over to Twitch, twitch.tv, of course, / Think Computers. That's what we do all of. Where is? Oh, there it is. So we do all of our game streaming over there. Ryan will be hosting that stream. I'm excited to play Apex. I feel like
I tried to play last night for just a little while, and my internet was for the last 2 days. Like horrible latency, and then it'd disconnect for like 5 minutes and come back up. Oh. I almost feel like Cox had some piece of equipment that was overheating with this heat.
That's what I'm worried about too, with moving. So where I live now is like a new construction, right?
Yeah. So you got access to all.
So I could pick between Cox, which is normal cable internet, or AT&T fiber, and I picked the fiber. And now I'm like, every time I'm going to go into a place, I'm going to be like, who do you offer? You know, and like, I have to look up like the max speeds and things like that. Because once you go fiber, you just can't go back, man. Yeah. So if I'm going to be stuck at a place that does have Cox, I think their max is like 800, 600.
That's not terrible, dude.
I mean, it's not terrible, no. But I just feel like... Yeah. Okay, so I had Comcast previously for years. I had Comcast, and not just speed wise, but issues. Just like you said, it would drop out. I would have weird issues sometimes. Yeah. At least the 2 years that I've been here with AT&T, nothing.
Well, these were the worst 2 days that I've had in the 6.5 years we've been in this house. Like,
yeah.
It would every now, maybe once a year, you'd have something where it was like down for an hour or something for some reason. But this was the longest, like intermittent up and down piece and frustration. So I was like, okay, this is kind of getting ridiculous. But I think they resolved it last night.
Well, like I said, hopefully when I move, I'll have good internet. I mean, I'll whatever the fastest that I can get, I'll probably get. Which it's either going to be fiber if it's available, or like the fastest Cox. Whatever, you know what I mean. So that is it, guys. Like I said, we are going to be over on Twitch. Thanks, Old Man and Taltosh in the chat for being here with us live, and of course everybody that listens later. We will not be skipping a week, so we will be here next week. So we'll see everybody then.